Hey, it's time to gather around the water cooler to talk the SNL Hall of Fame. Hey, it's JD here, and welcome back to the SNL Hall of Fame. I am getting ready to head inside and hang out at the water cooler with my friends Joe and Shari. Matt, how you doing? Make sure to wipe your feet as you come on in. And we're going to head down to the lunchroom now. There they are standing around the water cooler. They're all ready to go. Shari, how are you doing today?
I got a different water jug today. I'm trying to open it so I can drink out of it. Oh, well, I'm taking the lid off.
No glug jug today.
Glug, glug. It's a glug mug. It's a glug mug.
Excellent. Joe, my friend, what's shaking, Daddy-O?
Yes. I am doing good. I am doing strongly goggling. That's my phrase for this episode. And I'm ready to get into it.
Well, let's get into it then. Shari, I'm wondering if you want to recap this week's episode where we welcomed our good friend, Kirsten Rajala, back to the show to nominate the one and only Cecily Strong. And wouldn't you know it, there was something fortuitous that happened this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into that when we talk about the episode, but pretty cool. Shari, wondering if you want to go over Monday's episode of the SNL Hall of Fame.
100%. This was such a fantastic episode. Kirsten and Bill got into it all 11 years. I believe that Cecily is the longest tenured, I think, at 11. I think she just beat out Kate.
Yeah.
So longest tenured, had a stint at the Weekend Update Desk, which they talk about, and the decision she made to leave the Weekend Update Desk after only a year. They got into all of her characters, all of her fabulous impressions, the way that she bared her soul on the Weekend Update Desk with one character in particular, and just really beautifully broke down an absolutely classic, legendary career. And it was fascinating. And Kirsten and Bill did such a terrific job. They didn't miss a beat. They couldn't possibly do everything. But they got into her musical pieces. They got into her incredible impressions. They got into her incredible characters. And like I said, just really broke it down beautifully. So if you have not listened to it, it is the last nominee episode ever of the Hall of Fame. Need to listen to it. It was spectacular.
Oh, thanks for that, Shari. I think Kirsten is a home run. Absolutely a home run. And our friend Bill, you know, really got the most out of that conversation. If you haven't listened to the SNL Hall of Fame this week, I'm going to ask you, what are you thinking? Get cracking. Head on over to duver.com/SNLHOF. And you can get our episodes of The Water Cooler and episodes of the SNL Hall of Fame right there. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Joe, let's go to the compare and contrast. Who in the Hall of Fame is there already that might be a comparable? There's one that sticks out in my head right away. I'll save it unless you guys don't cover it. But Joe, what do you think about a current SNLer?
So usually I get asked who in the Hall of Fame and on the ballot. Now, no one directly on the ballot, you know, hit my brain as much as two people that are already in the Hall of Fame. You know, those two people, I'm like, all right, I got to. Anyway, it's Jane Curtin. She was mentioned in the podcast, but before I listened to it, I'm like, I already wrote that down. I mentioned last week with Jimmy Fallon, there's that trifecta of three things you need to do to be a good SNL cast member. You don't need to do all three, but you just need to be good at either one or whatever. And that's update, characters, and impressions. And Cecily does that. And the person that she reminds me of is Jane Curtin. And that's because in this form of the trifecta, what her and Curtin have in common is they come off as classy, relatable straight person, like that would be in reality, compared to the character, you know, type that they're interviewing, where they look like they belong on television, and then you get, like, and then they're interviewing, like, drunk uncle or whatever. You know, they come off as classy, and they can do update and characters and impression. But then, on the other end of the only thing that they have in common is they, you know, so they could do characters, impressions, and update. But then, they can do a wide range of characters, which brings me to my second person, which is Molly Shannon, who Molly Shannon can do. She could do kids, adults, messed up adults, you know, or just, you know, like, I'm not going to keep going on about all the different types of characters that an SNL performer can do, but that's just who my mind went to. Like, who else? And I'm like, I looked at Molly Shannon, and I'm like, yes. Just someone that can be paired up with another cast member and do a character with another cast member. Kind of like how they did with one of my favorite, I forgot their names, but the people that are getting fired from, like, McDonald's, and they go off on their coworkers. I'm like, okay, there's someone that could get, you know, kind of like how Molly Shannon gets paired up with Will Ferrell. You know, Cecily can do that with any cast member. So, yeah, Jane Curtin, Molly Shannon, you know, if you kind of do a little blend of them both, I think the gray area, the Venn diagram, would be Cecily Strong, who, again, just, and then on top of that, graduated Saturday Night Live, air quotes, and became a great actress, like a dramatic, wide range actress. And, you know, and again, we'll get into final thoughts later, but I can't wait to see what she's doing when she hosts. I can't wait to see what she's promoting when she comes back to host. But yeah, those are the two people I would compare her to.
Excellent work. Yeah, I can see that. And they're both, like, Molly Shannon was very brave as well on this stage. And I see Cecily as somebody who's very brave. You know, when you think of some of the character work she's done. Mm-hmm. Shari, how about you?
Okay, so my Hall of Fame already in was the exact same as Joe. I said Jane Curtin. I didn't think of Molly Shannon, but that was a great, great, a great comparison. Everett Joe said it already. She's so similar to Jane in so many ways. Yeah, they're just so similar. They have that professionalism to them that Joe talked about. And again, Bill mentioned the Jane Curtin comparison himself. So I'm not going to go through all that because Joe and Bill said it perfectly. I will talk about the ballot. Unlike Joe, I found many. I had like a long list. And I just,
really?
Yeah, long list that are on the ballot that she compares to. I mean, come on, 80s on there. They were obviously paired together a lot.
Good
point. There's some similarities there. And there's several others as well. But the one that I compared her to was from an earlier cast. She's one of my favorites. If she doesn't get in, this person I'm comparing Cecily to, if she doesn't get in this time, now that we have unlimited votes, people, I keep reminding you, I hope she gets in. And that's the woefully underappreciated Anna Gasteyer. How much did she kill it at the 50th? I mean, she's incredible. She's so woefully underappreciated. I think Cecily gets a lot more accolades and glow than Anna ever did. Till the 50th, they're finally starting to realize, wow, this woman has talent. And I know when she was on The Masked Singer several years ago, she got a lot of attention. She was the Christmas tree on The Masked Singer. I don't know if they have The Masked Singer American version in Canada, JD.
Yep.
But
sure do.
She was on that first season and she blew everybody away. She was in like the final four because she's such a great singer. Oh, perfect comparison to Cecily, great singers. So there you go. Musically similar. Similarities in their sensibilities. They both had that air of professionalism I talked about. I see a lot of similars. The Jeanine Pirro and the Martha Stewart impressions, kind of parallel in a way, if you want to look at it.
Yeah.
Two women who are very much in the media and very controversial for different reasons. So yeah, for sure, I think Anna Gasteyer and Cecily Strong deserve into the Hall of Fame this year, for sure.
Beautiful. Okay. I was thinking already in the hall, I was thinking her contemporary, Kate McKinnon. Mm. But I suppose they both played very different on the stage. Kate was an alpha, and Cecily could do anything, you know, like she could be in the background, she could be the star, she could do whatever, whereas Kate almost always
the star.
And I don't mean this in a negative way, but pulls focus because she's so magnetic on the screen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's go to the closing argument now. We'll give that a listen, and then we'll respond to Kirsten's final argument. Let's give that a listen now.
Kirsten, what do you want to say to the SNL Hall of Fame voters and people around the water cooler for your final pitch for Cecily into the SNL Hall of Fame?
Cecily Strong. Only she could make a clown, a drunk, and a right-wing lunatic feel weirdly relatable. Her final Weekend Update sketch had more emotional range than a lot of the Oscar reels that you see. She is a standout among fantastic sketch comedians because exactly what you said, her emotional range and depth that she brings to all her characters, her commitment to the craft, the fact that she's a triple threat, and that she is so confident in her convictions that it made for really smart, beautiful performances that anyone could laugh to at any point. They're really timeless in that way. I don't know how you wouldn't vote for her. I think if anyone thinks they don't want to vote for her, I'll meet you in the schoolyard at 3 p.m. because she's an absolute no-brainer for me for Hall of Fame. Hands down. And I'm going to manifest right now that she comes back and she hosts and Dochi is the musical performer because that would be an incredible show to have two kick-ass females like that just own that SNL stage and ride it all the way into Sunday.
Okay, so that was Kirsten's final argument with Bill. And let's parse this a little bit. Shari, do you want to start us off?
Absolutely. Kirsten was, like John last week, was short and to the point. She talked about Cecily's consistency, her depth and breadth of characters, her ability to work with anybody, and just that magnetism that she had, her beautiful singing voice. She's a no-brainer. That's what Kirsten said. I believe Kirsten said she should be in hands down. Those were Kirsten's exact words. I could not agree more. I 100% think she belongs in. I felt very guilty about not voting for Kate, but I just knew she'd get in without me, and I only had 15 votes. But now I have unlimited votes, so I can vote for everybody I love, and that certainly includes Cecily 110%.
Yeah.
Take it away, Joe.
So the thing that I like about her, and again, this is what I agree with the final thoughts, is I can't wait to see her come back to host. We'll come back about how she came back. Now, the thing that I like about if she does is kind of like other SNL cast members, if she does, she doesn't have to do, quote, her characters. Like, nothing against Mike Myers, but you kind of expect him to do Sprockets or, you know, Wayne's World or something. It would be weird if he didn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, kind of like Martin Short or Dana Carvey or Molly Shannon. You know, they could come back and do whatever, and you'd be fine with it. You actually want to see the reoccurring characters of now as opposed to Mary Kathleen Gallagher or whatever. So she, you know, I kind of am looking forward to Cecily coming back and hosting. And now with this whole thing, Kristen Wiig kind of did this thing where she hosted less than a year after she left. So now there's no, like, you got to go off and do something and then come back. Like, so Cecily could come back at any time, and obviously she's welcome, and just do anything with, you know, the show. And I guarantee you it will be, like, not only say an improvement, but, like, she will be an addition. She will be a helper. It will be, like an extra hand, to the show. So, right. I'm highly anticipating her coming back because, I can't wait to see what she adds, and it doesn't have to be, her doing girl that you, talk to, you don't want to get a conversation, at a party. Don't get me wrong. That's my favorite character, but I want to see what she adds to the rest of the show. So, that's what I agree with. I can't wait to see her come back and host.
I like the idea of leaving and getting a bit of distance before you come back. Like, let us miss you, especially in Kate's case and Kirsten Wiig's case. We didn't necessarily have a chance to miss them. And they both got great send-offs. So then it almost cancels out their great send-off to bring them back so soon. So I like how they've played Cecily here. And I mean, she could have come on for Smigadoon or, anything. So kudos for them for doing that. I am curious about this week's episode, speaking of Ms. Strong. Joe, we'll start with you and your Hall of Fame moments from this week's episode.
Okay, so let me go in just by saying, before I do Hall of Fame, Hall of Shame, I was going through the kind of like a checklist of all the sketches. And I just want to say, overall, I like the show. But when I was trying to pick one, I was like, this is going to sound like a contradiction. I felt very strongly on the fence about a lot of these. I was looking at it, Baby Shoe. I'm like, I have a weird feeling about this. Then I moved on and I'm like, Boss Bathroom. And I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that. But then, okay. So then on to the Hall of Fame. Mother's Day Brunch, I really like. But that didn't really get it all the way. The one that I really, really liked this week was Service Dogs. For some reason, that is just my humor. It reminded me of Late Night with Conan O'Brien. He did this thing where he would be talking about the show tomorrow night, and he cuts to an audience member who has these glasses that makes him look like he's sleeping or bored or something. But anyway, and that reminded me of this sketch where he just cuts to dogs looking at their watch, or the one with the dog with his eyes rolling. I don't know why. It hits my for some reason reminds me of Mad Magazine. I don't know. I'm not going to go into that, but just funny cut-tos with dogs, and there's that one where they're hitting the button where there's a Instagrammer thing where dogs hit buttons so that it's kind of like them talking. It just covered all these different jokes that I wanted them to cover about dogs but police dogs, as far as their training, having to sit through a bad play. Like, even the setup was goofy, the delivery was goofy. It entertained me the whole way, and I just loved it all the way through. So yeah, that's my Hall of Fame moment. Chari?
Yeah, oh, that was a good one. Joe, I have two dogs. I know you both know that because they've been in our podcast before. I love dogs, and these dogs should get an Oscar. They were so perfect. my husband was saying, I like seeing dogs and other animals on there because they usually do. They're like a wild card, them and kids, you never know. But these dogs were perfect. They were their timing, everything was perfect. I was so impressed. So good choice, Joe. Mine was the thing we've all been alluding to. Let me tell you, on the Saturday Night Network, on all the podcasts I listen to, everybody complains about the cold opens. They're always, almost always uneven since the beginning of time. I think the first 5 years they did really good cold opens, but they kind of went up and down and up and down and up and down. But this week, and I know other people don't agree with me, but this week, the cold open, I think it was my favorite of the last couple years. When Cecily showed up in her Jeanine Pirro wig, doing her Jeanine Pirro, which I didn't realize Trump had put Jeanine in the cabinet. I didn't realize that because I try to avoid the news. But anyways, so it was perfect timing. And us just having, getting ready to talk about her. I had just done my notes on Friday. I think on Friday. And then there she was. And
my God.
And then on top of it, I was already in ecstasy. And then on top of it, Jost showing up as, well, what's his name? Seth?
Doesn't matter, but him, yeah. Head Seth.
Whatever his name is. Head Seth, Head Seth. And she spews the wine on him. And he's like, here, Cecily, and gives her the bottle of bourbon. Oh, my God, I about fell off the couch. It was so great. It was truly a true Hall of Fame moment. I mean, they're not, no, that's going to go on reels. I mean, that was just incredible. And Cecily and Colin have such a camaraderie, as they talked about a lot on the Hot Take show. If anybody watches that for the SNN, they do a show right after the airing. And they talked at length about their camaraderie and how they're just so good on camera together. It was just a dream come true for a super fan like the three of us. So I was pretty joyous.
Cool. Let's keep the wagon wheel rolling then and eliminate some of your joyousness, Shari. And was there a Hall of Shame moment in this for you?
Not sketch wise. I really liked everything pretty well. I grade all my sketches now. I just started doing that. And I think my lowest grade was a B. I liked all the sketches, but this is the thing I complain about so, so much. I'm sure you two are sick of hearing it. I hate seeing people shut out. Two people were shut out. One, I think, chose to be. Chloe Fineman was shut out. She wasn't in anything. This is her second time, and I think she's choosing it to do other things. But the other one who was shut out keeps getting like very little screen time, or I think this might have been his second shutout this year, is Devin Walker. And I was very, very disappointed. I really like Devin. I think he's going to leave because he's going to want to go do stand-up like Punky. You know, they can go, I've talked about this before, they can go be a headliner for an hour and get paid. So why wouldn't they go do that?
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, I hope that doesn't happen. I love Devin. But yeah, the woeful lack of screen time. And you know who else is not getting the screen time? And I can't figure it out. They gave her that huge 5-minute spotlight on Update. And then they've just like, Ego's getting like no screen time. She was in one sketch. Well, now, granted, she had a pretty big part in the one sketch. But she's going to leave. I'm afraid she's going to leave. I hope I'm wrong. But they're not giving these folks screen time. They're very talented. They're going to go elsewhere. So that's my Hall of Shame that they need to work on. They've needed to work on it for years. The cast is just too big.
Too big. But I honestly think this is the way that it's going to be now. Like with all the pre-tapes they do and everything like that, they need a larger cast. And my guess is that the cast members go in eyes wide open. They know, you know, like this is, especially those featured players. They know they've got to get their spots in and destroy. Like Andrew Dismukes was so good at that early on.
Love Andrew.
Just finding spots to excel and really doing that. And if you can find those moments, then, you know, it would be very cool. Yeah.
So to add on to pretty much everything that we're talking about this episode, to go from Cecily to last night's episodes to talking about farewells, I just want to add to that cold open about Colin, because we keep talking about this might be Colin's last couple episodes. Now, I'm wondering, because at first I didn't think about that until you guys started pointing it out, and then now it's becoming more and more obvious. And the thing that I would like to know is, like, Cecily comes back, and then Colin, and then, like, she doesn't have a spot on Update. And I just like the idea that Colin's like, no. You're not, if I'm leaving, I'm not leaving without Cecily spitting wine in my face. Even if I have to go on the cold open, give her wine, and play a character I've never played before. Like, here, Cecily, spit this in my face before I leave. Heck, even spit it in my mouth. I will write it that you will spit it direct. Like, I, you know, and so I just like that. That is part of it. Like, hey, Cecily's here. Oh, I got to run up on stage and have her spit wine in my face before I go. I love that. So, I mean, if that's part of him leaving, I mean, in a bittersweet way, I am like, okay, good. I need to see that final spit in the face moment, even if it's a little forced. It just, so yeah. And then that probably will tie into next week's SNL episode with Star Joe coming to host his wife. And we'll see what we keep anticipating. It's not guaranteed, but it just makes sense because it would be weird if she was just there promoting Jurassic Park 7. Because come on, dude.
What? So, Joe, what's your Hall of Shame?
Oh, good. Oh, yeah, I forgot what you. Deathly Diner. Now, here's the thing: the joke in the sketch is that they have one joke. And at first I was like, okay, I could get behind that. I didn't show up on my radar. But when it actually started to play out, I'm like, just because you admit that that's your one joke doesn't mean, like, it just, I don't know. I don't even know. It's hard to even elaborate. It, you know, it just didn't click with me. And like I said, I had a lot of down the middle ones that I didn't feel were bad. I just was like, I had a feeling that, like, Baby Shoe and Boss Bathroom, I'm like, I probably will grow to these. Like, later on, when I detach myself from this specific week, I probably will grow to like those. But Deathly Diner, I almost put on my down the road, but it just didn't click. Because, again, I don't like one-joke sketches. And if you do the one joke multiple different ways, that's one thing. But when it's literally one joke, no. So...
Yeah, one joke is weak sauce. You know, these are supposed to be the best of the week. Like the calendar week. And sometimes you see a sketch and you're just like, wow, what did they cut for that to get in? But that brings us to the end, folks. That brings us, I can see right now they're coming in to take away the water cooler and fold up the chairs in the lunchroom.
Bye-bye.
Upstairs, they're taking down the Weekend Update exhibit and, It's sad. We're leaving this building and we're leaving this podcast behind at this point. On the flagship podcast, we've got a couple episodes left, including next week. We'll be honoring our Don Pardo Award winners. And on that day that episode comes out, we are opening up the voting. So voting, as Shari has mentioned a couple times, is unlimited this year. You can vote as many people as you want, but there is a minimum. You have to vote at least 5. So keep that in mind. We don't want you to vote for 5. We want you to use as many as you can because we want to see some people. Anna Gostar, for example, was mentioned earlier in this episode. Adie Bryant. There's lots of people on that ballot that deserve to get in, and hopefully they will at some point. Joe, Shari, I'm wondering if you have anything you want to close with before we button this thing up.
So I'll just go for real fast because I'm trying to keep it, you know, we all know I'm not the chief of brevity, but just two things. Like, one, does anyone smell gasoline for all the SNL nerds? I mean, we'll see with that. And then two, A Waltz and A is playing. So you know what that means. So. And please vote. Please keep watching the show. Don't just do that thing of saying SNL was good when this person was on. SNL isn't funny. Don't do that. It's like the news, all right? You know, and it's like a football team. You know, like, just, you can't say like, oh, the Bears were only good in the 80s. No, people come and go. Coaches come and go. Writers come and go. Performers come and go. Don't close yourself off from Saturday Night Live because Will Ferrell isn't on it, or because, you know, Sherry or who, Jan Hooks. Don't open your mind. Watch the show. There's a wide variety. You got hosts coming and going. Some of your favorite people in Hollywood are hosting, and they'll make fun of themselves, or they'll help the show by being a cast member. Or it's funny watching Bad Bunny be a sketch player, you know, and stuff like that. So please, I'm going to use this platform to say, don't cut yourself off from Saturday Night Live. It is a institution. It's a resource. It's a way. We're going through some weird times. We always are going through weird times. But if you're feeling weird about reality, society, politics, SNL will satirize that. Will tell you, yes, you are right for thinking the trend, the whatever trend, whatever news story, whatever is going on. Yes, that is weird. And they will hire the best people that haven't been famous yet to satirize it and tell you, you are not crazy for thinking it's weird. And don't close your mind out because Will Ferrell isn't on it. We will get the best people to, or Saturday Night Live, I don't want to say we, Saturday Night Live will get the best people to satirize all this crazy stuff we're going through on Spaceship Earth. So, yes, I'm going to get off my platform right now. So that's my final thought.
Nice, Joe. Love it. Shari?
Okay, I'm going to get emotional because I've been emotional like for a couple weeks now. I'm really going to miss this. It's been absolutely a gift. I don't want to get too personal, but I lost my mother recently, a couple years ago. And this podcast came at just the right time. JD and his wonderful JD-ness, he put out that ad, and I thought, oh, I'll never be qualified for this. I barely knew what a podcast was till the pandemic. And I didn't think I'd ever be qualified for this. But lo and behold, I was this podcaster and I just never realized it. And thanks to JD and Joe, I've been given this incredible gift. And I've been able to talk every week with two great human beings about something that I love and bring all of you listeners in with me, however many you are. And it's been an absolute gift, an absolute joy. And I'm hoping to end up on other podcasts as a guest because now I'm hooked. Thanks, JD. I'm addicted now. I can't stop. So thank you all. Thank you all you listeners and you, Joe, and thank you, JD. I really adore you guys, and it's been a true pleasure.
Well, hopefully we can get together sooner than later. That would be nice. There's an episode just next week. Maybe we can hop on for 5 minutes and talk about that or something. Who knows? It's been a whirlwind. I can remember sitting in a cafe in the Dominican Republic talking to John Schneider and just sort of riffing on some ideas of how we could talk a little bit more about the SNL Hall of Fame. And, you know, it just came to me that people used to, when television shows were a weekly thing and not something you watched on your own time, often the next day you would gather around the water cooler and talk about what you had just seen. And people would give their hot takes and their emotional appeals and whatnot. And it just sort of worked well with this concept. So I'm glad. And I'm glad that it ended up being you too, the two of you, because I've got to get to know you and really enjoy you and become friends with you. So that's pretty fucking cool. So on that note, we're going to bid you adieu. That's what we've got for you this week. Make sure to tune in to the SNL Hall of Fame and make sure to vote starting next week. And always make sure to stay thirsty.
Thanks for listening to the SNL Hall of Fame Water Cooler. To connect with Joe and Shari, join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/SNLHOF. To email the cast, write to snlhofwc@gmail.com. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review the show wherever you get your podcasts. Tuvra. Podcasts and such.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Offer valid on standard browsers, U.S. only.
When I heard about Date My Age, I thought, really? But there I was in my empty, quiet house, my laptop on the kitchen counter, and I typed in my name. Looking for a man between the ages of 40 to 60? Sure, why not?
Date My Age is different. With verified profiles, you can feel safe and secure to explore meaningful connections with interesting and mature singles.
Date My Age made it really easy. I could join and view online profiles for free. All of a sudden, my empty house wasn't so quiet anymore. I got so much attention, it just made me feel seen and alive. Date My Age helped me start a totally new chapter in my life.
Find a friend, a lover, a partner at Date My Age. Get 60% off when you join at datemyage.com today. That's datemyage.com to connect with thousands of singles worldwide. Datemyage.com.